My Bible says, we're going to fight for a minute before we get into the message. I can't say the name because we're online. We're on air right now. Little boy over here being held by Alyssa. Let's just fight and claim that little boy as ours. That yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, the enemy's trying nonsense to send him elsewhere. And even if, there's always that even if it doesn't go our way, we'll praise him. Even if it doesn't. But until it does, I'm going to fight. I'm going to swing wild and hard and repeatedly, and I'm going to do my best to knock him out. Oh my God, we lift up this young man. We lift up this little boy, God. Oh Father, been in my family since he was 3 weeks old. Oh Lord, we just claim him for our family, for the family of God. Oh, Lord, for this church, Lord, for his parents, his foster parents. No longer be foster parents. Oh, Lord, that it will go your way, God, that it will go as we're praying, as we're asking, Lord. We're seeking right now. We're seeking right now, Lord. Oh, God, with our whole heart. Leaving nothing behind. Pressing towards the goal, Lord. Oh, Lord, that the goal would be adoption. Lord, we're all adopted into your family. Let this little boy be adopted into ours. Oh, God, you're good. And I will praise you either way. I will honor you either way. I will worship you either way. Oh, Lord, but I ask with a sincere heart. Oh, God, make it so. Make it so, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. Church, you may be seated. Before I get into the message, I wanted to mention Brother David has got a couple of dear friends that are looking to move to the area. They want to live in Stillwater, and they're looking for a place. If you know of a place for rent that is reasonably priced, or if you can help look, talk to Brother David after service and see if we can't help him out. So he would appreciate it. We would appreciate it. I'm sure they would too. So, amen. Amen. Oh, happy birthday. It's not my birthday. Oh. I mean, you gave birth on this day, so. Jacob is 27 this morning. Amen. Happy birthday. Ezekiel, you still feel 25. Well, man to feel 25. Lord, it's been a minute since I felt 25. Amen. Oh, well, I feel your pain then. Lord, Jesus, so good. So good. Yeah, Ezekiel's birthday today as well. He's, man, lots of birthdays in June we've had. Lots of birthdays in June. So, okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Lord, thank you for blessing Barney. Well, I have my moments, Brother Barney. I have my moments. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, if you have your Bible, is our opening verse. We've been on this verse for a little while in this gardening tips series that we've been doing. I honestly don't know when the end of it's going to be. It's going to be a bit, because there is a lot in the garden as you read through, especially the Gospels and Jesus' teaching. There is a lot to be found in the garden. And last week we talked about sowing and reaping. And this week we're going to continue the idea of sowing and reaping. And we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction with it. But the law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. I believe it with all of my heart. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And that does mean sowing and reaping. That is a part of cultivating and keeping the garden, is sowing and reaping. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are yours. We are your blessed, blessed children, because we are in relationship with you. God, we have sought you and found you. And those today, if they have not sought you, Lord, I pray that today this message helps them to seek you. If we seek you, I know according to your word, you will be found. God, I pray right now for anointing. Not anointing just upon me, but anointing upon the hearers of this message, the seers of this message. That the spiritual receptors, the eyes and ears and hearts and minds of those that are hearing or seeing this message today will be open, ready to receive this word, the seed that it is, and that they will be good, fertile soil for that seed to be sown in, that in due time, and in due time, they will reap the harvest of your word, of the Spirit and its power. Oh God, I need your anointing to speak this message, Lord, as it is your word. And Lord, I simply want to be your vessel. Holy Spirit, fill me. Change any part of it that you wish. Inspire new thoughts if you wish. New ideas if you wish. Have your way, oh God. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about how we need to be careful of the seeds that we're sowing. Be mindful of what we're sowing, because we will reap what we have sown. It's inevitable. It's the way it has always worked, and it's the way it will always work. What you sow, so shall you reap, for the good and for the bad. And I pray that principle has maybe echoed in your mind and in your heart all week. That as you were going through your daily, whatever you were going through, that you were thinking about, okay, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to sow that. I want to sow this because that's what I want to reap. I pray that we are becoming more mindful about that whole idea, that whole thought. Did you say something? Karma. Yeah. We used to go to church with Karma. She used to go to church here. Her name was Karma. It's funny. Yeah. But they don't see it spiritually. They don't see the spiritual aspect of it. They just think that if they do good things will come to them. Right? And there's some truth in that. You hope. But the honest truth is that if you sow blessings, you will reap blessings. Right? It's inevitable. The thing is, the world and other people think that they're going to reap exactly what it is that they've sown. And that's just not true. It's just not always how it works. Sometimes does it work that way? Yes. But not always. They also forget the idea of timing. Today we're going to look at the timing of sowing and reaping. Because reaping takes time. It just takes time. It doesn't happen instantly. And in this world, it's an instant gratification society. They want it now, right? Amazon has not helped that idea with us, right? Because some of us are angry if we order it today and it's not at our door tomorrow, right? When you get that message that says package delayed, and it's going to be, oh, if it's Friday, you will lose your ever-loving, right? Friday, I have to wait until Friday? What is happening to Amazon now, right? I mean, when we lived in Perkins, I ordered something in the morning. It was on my doorstep that afternoon. I will never forget it. It's the closest thing to witchcraft I think I've ever seen. It was insane that it was there so quickly. But I know how much we want it to happen so fast. And some of us get so frustrated because it doesn't happen as quickly as we think it should or as quickly as we want it to. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Some of us need to start learning those two words, due time. In fact, you need to start saying them over and over to yourself. Due time. When's it going to happen? In due time. Well, what's due time? I don't know. It's not on my watch. It's not on the clock back there. It doesn't say, oh, due time. It's not like your bills, because your bills have a due time, right? It's due by this date or you're going to get a penalty. It's going to be late charges. It's going to be whatever. It's not that way. Due time is when God says it's the right time. And we have to become so acquainted with the idea that it might just not be due time yet. And we need to get better at waiting for due time. Due time needs to be something that we think about. When's that going to happen? I love, some of you have been watching The Chosen. I've been watching The Chosen, the new season's out, and they have this thing that they say in The Chosen, soon, right? When are we going to do that? Soon, right? You'll see it throughout the whole series. Soon. Soon is due time. That's exactly what that is. When? Soon. Well, okay. Could you get a little more specific? No, I can't. I wish I could. Like, I wish I knew. There's so many things I wish I knew right now. I wish I knew when due time was for so many things. For so many things. I wish I knew when due time was going to be for a little man over here that we just prayed for. I wish I knew when due time was going to be for the permit to get approved. I wish I knew when due time was for that. I wish I knew when due time was for the dirt work to start happening. I wish I knew. I wish I knew when due time was going to be that marker back there that's showing that our goal and how much we've raised was at the very top. I wish I knew when due time was going to be. There's so many things. But due time comes in its own time, and it's in God's time. It is just His time, because He always knows when due time is. And if He did it on my time, oh man, I would have messed so many things up in so many places, in so many areas of my life and others' life, because I thought it was due time already. I thought that now was the right time. I can give you example after example after example in my life of when due time was. I thought, oh man, I'll never forget multiple times laying out my plan before the Lord, okay? Okay, Lord, in my prayer. you could do this, which would in turn do this, which would then do this, and then this would happen, and then boom, I'm right here where I need to be, where I want to be, right? I want to be right here. I want to be doing this. I want to, and it just start right here, Lord. If you'll just start right here, we can make this happen. We can make it happen. It's going to be amazing. Lord, just do this whenever you're ready, Lord. Whenever you're ready, just do it. And then it just doesn't happen. And then you get days, weeks, months, years. And then he does it his way. And not only did he line up all of the things that you wanted him to line up, but he lined them up in a way that was better than the way that you told him. Because the way you told him was a little catty corner. Not quite straight, not quite right. Not quite centered to the cornerstone. It would have given you glory and given you honor and done all these things for you. But when he did it in a way that it was just like, it couldn't have been anything but him. And you can't take glory in the fact that he did something other than the fact that you belong to him. In due time, God will. In due time, God will. Maybe not how you thought it was going to happen. Might not be where you thought it was going to be or how you thought it was going to be. But in due time, God will. Sometimes in due time means that the answer is no. But you get the no answer in due time. I can't tell you how many times I have fought and pressed and pushed and pulled and argued and just Lord, why? Not now. Now's the right time. It would be so great if you could just do it right now. And then when he finally does do whatever it is he's going to do, then it's better. I remember once in my job, I was waiting for a promotion. And I had applied for it. I had interviewed. I had talked to some people. And I had gotten the question. I got this question. They said, well, there's two spots we could put you in. Would you rather do this or this? And I said, well, honestly, I'd rather do this. And they said, okay. And then the morning that I thought the promotion was going to be announced, on our morning conference call, my boss announced a hiring freeze company-wide. No promotions, no new hires. But Lord, I had it. I had it. They had said, which one do you want? And I said, I want this one. And it was due time, Lord. This is due time. And it was 3 years before the promotion came through. And it wasn't the job that I thought I was going to get. And it wasn't where I thought I was going to go. But God had a plan. Because what had happened was, I had taken the pastor job in Perkins to be the senior pastor of Perkins. And if I had gotten that job, I wouldn't have been there to pastor that church. If I had gotten that job, I'd have probably been living in Oklahoma City. But in due time, I was there to pastor that church. And just a few weeks after I became pastor of that church, I got a phone call. I was over, just right over that way. And I was on a ladder, about probably 15 foot in the air, working. And my phone rang, and I picked it up. I looked at it. I recognized the number. And I talked to him. He said, hey, do you want this job? I said, yeah, absolutely. And he said, okay, you'll start 2 weeks or whatever it was, right? I said, okay, great. And I hung up. And then I called Tammy and said, hey, I just got promotion. She said, where are you working? And I said, I don't know. So I had to call him back and said, hey, where's my job? And he said, where you want it to be? I said, well, I live in Stillwater. He said, okay, sounds good. Oh, in due time. I tell you that not because I didn't do anything. I almost messed it up so many times. In due time, I almost messed it up. I tried so hard to get ahead of him because I had my plan and my way and my thing. And it just has worked out every time that I've waited in due time. Church, if you've got your Bible, if you've got your app, whatever, you need to highlight in due time. Underline it. Circle it. Put a post-it note. In due time. It's coming. It's coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. This is good stuff. It's good stuff. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. I planted, this is Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. I sowed the seed, Apollos watered it, God caused it to grow. We have to remember that, remind ourselves. We don't cause it to grow. And your job may be to sow and not to water. Your job might be to water and not to sow. But we all have to wait for God to bring the increase. He will bring the increase. He is faithful. God is faithful and He will bring the increase. In due time. In due time it will happen. This verse is an acknowledgement by Paul that he can only do what he can do. That he could do his part, but it was God that brought the increase. It was God that did the rest of it. He did his part, Apollos did his part, and then God. In due time, and then God. And it's just, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the idea of I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm going over here and I'm going over there and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I gotta sow all this and do all this. But we have to trust that God's going to do what God does in due time. Sometimes we plant, sometimes we water. And to be really honest with you, sometimes we never see the harvest. Sometimes somebody else harvests what we've sown. Yesterday I was a part of a harvest that I did not sow. Yesterday I baptized my aunt, my dad's youngest sister. I baptized my younger sister, her youngest daughter, and her boyfriend. I didn't sow those seeds. Those seeds sown by Grandma Glee. Yeah, my grandma, Eufa Glee. Yeah, that's why I didn't have a daughter. I don't know. Loved her, but those are not names. I'm naming my daughter. I'm just saying. Like, if I have a granddaughter, I pray she's not Eufa. I loved Grandma Glee, but no Eufa, please. Grandma was amazing, and she was faithful to that little church in Atwood, Oklahoma. And then my aunt Judy, still faithful to that church. And I was reaping a harvest I did not sow. I did not water. I was barely a part of it, but there I was. And my grandmother in heaven's rejoicing because her baby girl got baptized. Man, what?
What a day. What a day. What an honor. What a privilege to be a part of such an amazing moment. An amazing moment that I did not deserve to be a part of. But praise God, I didn't have to earn it. I just had to be willing. And now, by faith, I'll be greeted in heaven by some of them. Oh, man. Makes it all worth it. Makes every bit of it worth it. I could not be much more tired, to be honest. After the week in Dallas and sleeping in a hotel bed, nobody sleeps well in a hotel bed. And then coming home and working Friday and loading up the baptism tank and then getting up Saturday morning, I wanted to sleep. I wanted to sleep. But they deserved it. They're worth it. Oh, Lord. James 5:7. James. Come on, James. Speak to us. James 5:7. Therefore, be patient. Now, don't you love the way that starts? Yeah. Some of y'all have already stopped listening. Brethren, until the coming of the Lord, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Be patient. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. He waits for what he has sown to produce. What can he do while he's waiting? He can do all kinds of things. He can make sure that it's fertilized. He can make sure that it's irrigated, that it's watered. He can make sure that he does his best to prepare the soil and to protect it to the best of his ability. He can pull weeds. He can do a lot of things while he's waiting. But if he sits there and watches the ground for it to produce, oh man, that's going to feel like forever. It's going to feel like he's there for 18 years watching one seed pop up out of the ground. When you're just sitting there watching it, some of us are still so focused on that seed producing that we're not sowing the seeds that we could be sowing in other parts of the garden, because we're so target fixated on that one seed, because I want to see that one grow right there. So that's the one that is my seed. I want that one right there to grow. So they're focused, like, I'm going to make sure there's no weeds around it. I'm going to water it every day. You know, some plants don't need water every day. Some plants, if you water them every day, you're going to kill them. Right? They're so focused on that one seed. How much more could you grow if you stopped focusing on that one seed and just started sowing seeds wherever you went? How much greater would your harvest be? How much bigger could it be? How much more could we do for the kingdom? How much more increase could we see if we stop just waiting on the one seed? We're not a one seed kingdom. We're not a one seed church. We got to be a multiple seed. We got to be a sowing church. The wait is what gets some of us distracted. The weight is what gets some of us off course. The weight is what gets some of us frustrated and angry and irritated. Well, if you stop focusing on that one seed, the weight will feel way shorter, because you are busy doing sowing other seeds. You're not just looking back at that one seed. You're sowing other seeds in other places. Some of you have sown seeds
in your marriage that caused your marriage to go awry, and now you've started trying to sow good seeds, and you're frustrated because yesterday you sowed a good seed and today your marriage isn't better. And you're frustrated because your marriage isn't fixed yet. Well, you sowed it yesterday, right? You said, I love you for the first time in 2 years yesterday, and you think she should be better by now. He should be better by now. You started talking to that friend again that you had, and you were nice to them for the first time in 6 months, and they met you with, and you went, Lord, it's just taking forever. It takes time for the seed to produce. In due time, it's going to happen. But due time takes time. Due time is not instantaneous. Could it be? Absolutely, God can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. That one kind word could absolutely produce that instantaneous reaction. But don't count on it. It takes a long time for your marriage to get off course. And it's going to take a long time for it to get back on course. Your friendship, it's going to take a while for it to get back on course where you want it to be. Your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your boss, your job, whatever it is. It did not get in the state that it's in a bad way overnight. It's not going to get fixed overnight. Sowing takes time. Reaping takes time. We have to trust God for the harvest. We have to trust Him that due time's coming. We have to trust Him that what we're sowing, though we may not see it today, we're going to see it. A perfect example. I talked about it just within the last couple of weeks. Brother Barney's been going to jail ministry at Payne County for years now. And a couple of weeks ago, they had 15 men in the jail give their hearts to the Lord. Been sowing for years. Been sowing those seeds for years. Being faithful. Sowing the seeds into those men. Got men coming and going. New men in, other men out. Still sowing those seeds. Being faithful in sowing them. Faithful in sowing them. Wondering, Lord, are they ever going to get it? Is anything ever going to happen? When are we going to see salvations? When are we going to see things happen? And then in due time it happens. It comes. 15 one night. It may not be the thousands of Acts 2. But if the angels in heaven rejoice over one, there's a pretty good party happening that night. One is worth it. One is worth it. Two's a blessing. Three is remarkable. 15, oh Lord Jesus, that we could be patient in due time for the 15s, for the 20s, the 30s, for the hundreds, for the thousands to come to the knowledge of Jesus, the salvation knowledge of Jesus. If you saw a farmer that was sitting out in his field looking at one of his rows that he had sown, and you saw him, you drove by his field every day, and you saw him sitting out there in his lawn chair just watching that one spot, you'd think, that's the craziest farmer I've ever seen. Just watching that one seed that he sowed every day. Some of y'all are doing that spiritually. Some of us are doing that where we're saying, Lord, why hasn't it happened yet? Why haven't they come to Jesus yet? Why isn't this fixed yet? Why isn't this happening? Why am I having to wait so long, God? You're taking forever. You're taking too long, Lord. I don't know if I can keep doing this, Lord. I don't know if I can keep going this direction. I don't know if I can wait any longer, Lord. In due time, the bud pops out of the ground. And in due time, the plant gets taller. And in due time, the blooms come. And in due time,
Here comes the little fruit. Not a tomato, other fruit. Not a tomato. Yeah, tomatoes. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. If you wait in due time, multiplication happens. Not only does he supply the seed, but he supplies the increase, the multiplication. Not only is it going to happen for that one thing that you're praying for, that you've been sowing for, but if you keep sowing, what you're going to look back and see is you got a whole row because you've just kept your eyes on sowing. You just kept sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing, not worried about what was going to happen behind you, but just keep going and going and going. And before you know it, there's a multiplication that happens that you thought was possible, but you also thought it could not be possible. And when you see it, you say, "Oh, my Lord, what have you done?" And all of a sudden, you got bushels full and bushels full because you were sowing and sowing and sowing. I got friends in ministry who, to be honest, gave up too soon. They gave up too soon because they thought, well, it's not happening. It's not happening. We're just not seeing the increase. We're just not seeing God do what we believe he can do, what we know he can do. And they give up too soon. Don't give up too soon. If you sow, a harvest is coming. If you sow, a harvest is coming. I need to say that one more time. If you sow, a harvest is coming. Can you take hold of that? Can you believe that today, that if you sow, a harvest is coming? A harvest in your family. You say, "Oh, but Pastor, I've been sowing seed in that area for so long." The response to some of you is, "No, you sowed it a little bit and then you've been watching it ever since. Wondering why it's not increased yet. Why it's not produced yet." God produces provides the increase. Your job is just to sow. Your job is just to water. Stop watching that seed. Get your eyes off of that seed. Get your eyes on the spot to plant the next seed. And the seed after that. And the one after that. Stop watching that thing. It's not going to grow any faster because you're watching it. It's going to feel like an eternity because you're watching it too closely. Your focus is just on that seed. And the harvest that he produces, is a multiplied harvest. It's not a one or a two or a three harvest. It's a 30, 60, or 100 harvest. It's a harvest that not only brings a smile to your face, but brings glory to the one who has provided the increase. Because it's not just the one that is affected, it's others that are affected. I love the corn seed because it is such a great visual of increase. Because one seed, one kernel of corn can produce a stalk that is taller than me with 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 ears. And each one of those ears of corn is full of seeds. That's multiplication. That's multiplication. I got packets of seeds here in this front row. When you leave today, take a packet of seeds.
I don't care what it is. There's all different vegetables. You don't have to plant them if you don't want to. But if you don't plant them, nothing's going to grow. But just as a reminder for you that I've got seed, I got to sow. The church has got to be in a mindset of there is seed to be sown if we want to see a harvest. Too long, we didn't sow seeds and expected a harvest to come. Too long, too many times, we were not doing what we needed to do to sow seeds into our family, into our marriage, into our community, and expected a harvest to come. We just said, well, doors are open every Sunday. They know where to go. How do they know? Who told them? Did you tell them? Hey, church is on Sunday. Hey, God moves in my church. Hey, God loves you. We would love to see you there. But we're not sowing seeds. We're not loving on people like we always should. Looking in the mirror there. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not blaming. We haven't always done a great job of it. We just thought we'll open the doors and God will bring them. That's a great evangelism tool. What's your evangelism strategy? We open the doors on Sunday. Yeah, build it and they'll come. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's why the churches are shrinking. There are fewer and fewer churches every year. Great evangelism strategy. We open the doors. There's this movie, and as I was preparing this message, there's this thing that just kept echoing in my mind. There's this little blue fish with a yellow tail. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. Just keep sowing, just keep sowing, just keep sowing, sowing, sowing. What does that look like? That looks like friendship. That looks like relationship. That looks like invitations to church. That looks like, let me just give you an example, okay? How I got hooked into Hosanna, all right? First day we walked through the doors. I'm not Pentecostal that day, okay? I'm a little nervous, right? Walking into a Pentecostal church. I've been in a couple. I've been around Pentecostals. They crazy. It's all right. I'm walking into this church. All right. It's me, both boys, and Tammy. Sister Lita's at the back, greeting people as they walk in the door. She said, hello, I'm Lita. And I said, hi, I'm Seth. And this is my son Jacob and my son Joshua. And she looked at Tammy and she said, you must be Mary. Because all the boys had biblical names. She said, you must be Mary. Monday, after we visited church, Monday, Lita and Linda Metcalf at our front door with a loaf of bread. So glad you guys came to visit us. Visited for just a few minutes. Left. Tammy calls me and said, they came by. The people from that church, they came to the house. I thought, how did they know where we lived? But it was simple. They loved us. They welcomed us. They invited us back. They made sure we knew that we were invited and wanted. And wanted. Boy, that's a powerful word. We were wanted. We were wanted. Church, sowing can be difficult because of the ground we're sometimes sowing into. There's some pretty hard ground out there. Some pretty rough ground. But you know what?
I believe there's the roughest ground out there. Just needs a little water. Just needs a little attention. And it can become the most fertile soil to produce the biggest harvest. I want to end this service, but Ben, if you've got something, I want to end this service because I believe there are some people who have been sowing for a while. And to be honest, you're tired of sowing. If you were going to be really honest. In fact, you may be so tired of sowing into that soil that you may have even stopped. You may have quit sowing because you thought, I guess they're just, that ground there is too hard. It's never going to produce. It must just not be fertile enough. It may be soil from Sodom and Gomorrah. Never going to grow another thing. I believe there's no such thing as soil that can't be produce a harvest except for Sodom and Gomorrah, because that's biblically never going to happen. So I want to pray for those this morning. Been sowing a long time. You've been sowing so long, you stopped sowing because you just thought it's never going to happen. We're going to pray for that soil. Whoever, whatever that is. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a family member, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a job, whatever it is. If that's you this morning, if you would, as Ben's playing this song, if you would just stand where you are, we're going to pray for the soil that you've been sowing into. We're going to pray that that soil would start to produce. God, we're just going to pray that due time would come and that it would come quickly. I don't know who it is. I don't know what it is. There's some already standing. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I'm going to pray. Ben's going to play. He's going to sing whatever he's going to do. That's you. I want you to stand until we're done. And I want you to sow seeds of righteousness into that soil right now from where you are. Sow seeds of righteousness into that soil that they will produce, that it will begin to produce. And then after today, you're going to start sowing once again. If you gave up, you're going to start sowing once again. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful, it's true, it's strong, and it's mighty, God. And Lord, we ask right now that those of us that are standing by faith, God, asking you, oh Lord, to work over the soil of the for the seed that we've been sowing, Lord. Oh Lord, that you'll water it, that you'll make it good, fertile soil, Lord, whatever it needs, whatever that soil needs, that you will make it good, fertile soil, and it will begin to produce the harvest of the seed that we've been sowing. Lord, because there is a harvest that needs to be reaped. Lord, we need to see the harvest begin to happen. Harvest in our marriage, harvest in our job, harvest in our families and of our friendships, Lord. Harvest in our kids, Lord. Harvest in our young kids. Harvest in our grown kids. Harvest in our grandkids, Lord. In our nieces and our nephews. Oh, Lord, we need to see a harvest come. So we're sowing seeds of righteousness today. Right now, Lord. Father, we are mindful right now of the seeds that we're sowing. We're looking at every one of them, making sure it's a good seed. not just scattering it, but being purposeful with where we're placing those seeds and purposeful of the seeds that we're planting. Oh God, we thank you. Oh Lord, that you will produce a harvest, God. The world is a harvest, Lord, ready. It's ready, God. I believe it with all of my heart. It's ready. If we'll sow the seeds, you'll produce the harvest, God. Oh, Father, we thank you. Let us not get weary in well-doing, but keep our eyes, our hearts, our thoughts upon you, oh God. Thank you.